Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, April 29th. Coming up today, we'll hear from the Gillingham manager after their final match of the League Two season. But first, taking a look at our top story today. Parents have hit out at a decision to drop a course from a secondary school on Sheppey, meaning their children have studied a year for nothing. The BTEC in Hair and Beauty at Oasis Academy's Minster site has been scrapped by the new trust taking over the school in September. Instead, pupils will spend more time on the English, Maths and Science GCSEs. Davina Savage's 15-year-old daughter was doing the qualification.
I phoned Ren just to let her know. I always phone her to say I'm leaving to come get you from school, and she seemed a bit unhappy, really unhappy actually, really, really unhappy. So I picked her up, she got in the car and she said, "You're not going to believe this, Mum, they've dropped Hair and Beauty." And I was literally gobsmacked, because it's such a great course. It's got such a momentum to it. And I was absolutely shocked. And then there was a letter that was handed out. There's two Hair and Beauty classes, so about 60 students, so maybe 30 in each class, possibly more, were taken into one room all together and handed a letter. Initially, Ren thought it was a letter to go on a trip, because that's how these things have been put across before. Here's your letter, blah, blah, blah. But they were all handed a letter. And then one of the senior leadership team members had to give them the news that Hair and Beauty was being dropped. And I think that was so difficult for her to have to give that message across. I think even the teachers were quite shocked and upset about this, because, you know, they're a great bunch of girls, and they've worked so hard since September to get to where they are, and they're all really doing so well at this. I think it's just one of these years where they're just loving the course, the teachers, it's all just going so great, so perfect. And then suddenly, as of yesterday, and that was in Hair and Beauty, which was the last lesson of the day, they got this letter and they had this told to them, that was being dropped. So there's no theory now, absolutely no theory we've been taught up until the end of the year, because there's no point, they're not taking an exam in it, it's just going to be practical. There's no exam that would be taken. I don't even think there's going to be a suggested predicted grade given to them. And if there is, it's not worth anything.
Lee Academy's Trust says the decision's been made after detailed analysis of the current situation and what students require to achieve.
Kent Online News.
Figures show a record number of asylum seekers are making the dangerous journey across the Channel. More than 7,100 people have arrived in the UK on small boats so far this year. That's up by a quarter on the same period in 2023. It's believed a fire at an abandoned museum in Ramsgate was started deliberately. Four fire engines and police were called to Westcliff yesterday afternoon. The building's been empty since the Motor Museum closed in 2005. A Rochester man has avoided prison following an attack on two patrons in a pub toilet. Beau Clayton confronted his first victim at Ye Arrow in Rochester around closing time in November 2020. He then assaulted the second victim when they tried to intervene. The 30-year-old, who lives on the Esplanade, was given a 16-month suspended sentence. He must attend rehab sessions and a mental health treatment program. Now, a family near Maidstone say they're devastated after their pet peacock was killed by boys with catapults. CCTV footage shows the bird, called River, being chased into a neighbour's garden and attacked in Boughton-on-Chelsea. Our reporter Ellie Hodgson has been chatting to Alison Carter and daughter Macy.
We've had him for about 5.5 years. We actually rescued him. He'd been kept in appalling conditions in a box that was no taller than about 2.5 foot and about 4 foot long, if that. He had no feathers. He was scared of everybody. There was two of them. And, we rescued him. And then he's just got so friendly and tame, and he's become part of the family, really. As you can see, he's, you know, we've rescued a few more. We've got another, how many have we got more? We've got another five.
Yeah, five. We've got five
left,
more.
But now we can't let them out, obviously.
We're too worried in case this will come back and happen again, because they had actually, one of the boys involved had messaged my younger sister, who's 17, threatening her and
laughing, saying, "Haha, your peacock 6 foot under," laughing about it, and said, "You're going to be next." So she's at home now, really terrified about the whole situation. And the whole thing's on video. The man down the road who owns the woodyard, he's got the whole thing on video, and he actually went down there and caught them doing it.
So he caught them in the act.
Well, he saw it on the video and he's gone down there.
He saw them after the incident had happened and then checked his CCTV because they had said to him, like they openly admitted, oh, we shot a peacock and we want its feathers. And obviously they had ripped his feathers out.
And then they found the peacock, they'd thrown it behind the back of his shed. What happened? He was in his tree and we found out that they've tried to shoot him out of his tree. He's tried to escape and jump across onto the woodyard, onto their barn. They've then all gone down to the barn, climbed over into someone's private property, shot him out of the barn. As they've knocked him out, he's gone down the floor and they've grabbed him. They're picking him up, holding him up like it's a trophy, ripping his feathers out. They're all laughing. It needs to be stopped because this catapult business is a deadly weapon. It's like, you know, and if they're this type of children, although they say they're children, like 16 and that, what else could they do? Where does it stop? Mm-hmm. Where are they next to get their next hype from? Because they seem to be getting a joy out of it. It's like a pleasure. The police need to do something because, as I said, you know, are they going to start hiding in bushes, shooting people with their dogs? Or are they going to go to children next? You know, where would it stop?
Kent Online News.
People living in New Ash Green are worried laughing gas could be making a comeback after canisters were found dumped in a car park. In November, possession of nitrous oxide for misuse was made a criminal offence. Residents say there's been a drop since then. Now dozens of canisters have been found near a school. An architect whose work is featured on Grand Design says he no longer feels safe in his dream home in Whitstable. David Lidicote had built the property on Joy Lane because it seemed like a safe place that could become a sanctuary for his family. But just a few months after construction was complete, two men armed with knives tried to force their way into the property while David was at home with his partner and two children. The suspects tried the rear patio door before brazenly ringing the front doorbell and trying to push their way in. David says the ordeal has led them to consider selling the property and moving away from the area. Two people have faced court over the armed raid. A 17-year-old has been sentenced to 38 months in prison, while a 28-year-old will serve 10 years. Now, if you own a second home in Kent, your council tax bills are going to be going up. Councils across the county have voted to double the tax on properties which aren't the owner's main residence from next April. They say it's designed to discourage second home ownership and free up properties for those who need them amid a housing crisis in Kent. Plans for a massive solar farm the size of 86 football pitches on land between Ashford and Canterbury have been axed. Ashford Borough Council rejected proposals to install around 75,000 panels on land north of Chilham and Old Wives Lees. The solar farm could have provided enough power for up to 14,000 homes per year, but the council says it would have significant adverse impacts on the rural landscape. A barber is making a comeback to a Kent village after abruptly losing their shop last year. Tenham Cuts moved out of their London Road premises last April so the new landlord could renovate, but while they were gone, the shop was turned into flats. The owners have now secured a new site on the same road and say they'll be ready to welcome back customers soon. Building work has come to a stop on a new care home in Northfleet after contractors started early. The 75-bed facility is being built on the site of the Battle of Britain pub in Cold Harbour Road, which was demolished illegally in 2016. It's understood everything has had to be temporarily stopped until all planning conditions have been met. Campaigners have accused developers of trying to turn an historic street in Dover into another HMO alley. Residents have slammed plans to turn an old lawyer's building in Castle Street into a 9-bedroom property. The housing group say it'll breathe new life back into the area. Critics say there isn't enough parking or refuse provision to support it. Thomas Brubleet lives on Castle Street.
I'm against it. I'm just on the principle of density, like for Castle Street. I've moved recently here and I've been able to enjoy like the street and see how some of the properties have been recovered, and it's got so much character, and it looks like one of the few streets like in central Dover that have been taken care of. It's already like a number of HMOs around, and I do think it's going to affect the density. Like, we already have problems. Rubbish, for example, like our bins, we only have one bin here and one at the end of the other street, and they get full by 10 in the morning, full, you know, and that's just with one family per household almost, you know, so 9 more people just in one dwelling, it's like I don't know. I think it'll make it hard on the street.
Bayou Adewale is a local resident.
In principle, it's a bad idea. In reality, it's a bad idea simply because it goes against what the town plan is, which is to make Central Dover a family and a broad area in which sustained communities or sustainable communities can live. However, making it a high density, multi-occupancy area runs against that. Furthermore, what you tend to attract, even with high quality HMOs, is apart from an increased density, which stresses refuse collection and also stresses parking, what you have is a transient population, so you don't get to build any sense of community or identity to an area.
Kent Online News.
The leader of Tunbridge and Morling Council says he turned down the chance to become a Conservative parliamentary candidate. Tracy Crouch is standing down from the role in Chatham and Aylesford at the next election. Speaking on the Kent Politics podcast, Matt Borton says he was asked if he wanted to run in her place.
It's hard work to be elected. It's hard work getting elected. And then once you are elected, you want to have the influence to deliver the policies that you've stood for election on. No one ever pays you to be a candidate at all. But it's evenings, it's weekends, it's time away from your family. And I admire anyone who puts themselves forward for election, and particularly, obviously, to be an MP, because you take a huge risk that you'll all of a sudden one day be a cabinet minister, perhaps even prime minister, and then you're sort of boost out of your job at 4 o'clock in the morning in a leisure centre in the depths of winter. Yeah. I mean, it's brutal.
It is, yeah.
Absolutely brutal.
I mean, do you have any personal ambitions about parliamentary
bid? Not right now. I mean, it's quite funny because my phone was red hot once the news about Tracy standing down came out, given obviously the seat is in the borough. But my wife and I have got a baby on the way in August.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Paul. I'm having a few sleepless nights at the moment, but I think I'll be having a few more after that.
Yes.
But obviously we've got, so personally, the timing doesn't work for me. I've got a job to do here at Tunbridge and Morling Council. I want to do it. I feel I've got unfinished business. I always have sort of joked with my friends and said, if one day I ever try and do that, it means I've had a midlife crisis, so stop me. But at the moment, it's not the right time. But I don't want to turn around now and say no, never in the future, because I might have that midlife crisis and stand for Parliament. At the same time, I don't want to sort of say, yes, I desperately want to be an MP, because I don't. I simply want to do the best for the community, and I like public service, and that's what motivates me to get up in the morning and come into work and do my best for the communities. And if public service means being an MP in the future, great. If it doesn't mean being an MP, I'm not going to sort of regret that in the slightest. It's a privilege to do the job that I do. It's a great honour. It's got some great upsides and it's got some significant downsides as well. You've got to enjoy the moment, because the moment's not going to last forever.
Yeah.
If you missed that episode of the Kent Politics podcast, you can listen at the podcast page at Kent Online. Plans to replace the roof of the Orchard Theatre in Dartford have been approved. The building had to close last September after potentially dangerous rack concrete was found. The construction work is expected to cost around £7 million, but it has given hope that the theatre will reopen in the autumn. Here's Jeremy Kite from the Ashford Borough Council speaking to the local Democracy Reporting Service.
People didn't really believe us when we said we were going to reopen a temporary one. It didn't seem possible. We actually got the thing up in 8 or 9 weeks. We did an amazing piece of work. The Orchard West is a fantastic facility. I was there last week with a local amateur dramatic society putting on a fantastic show. It's really been welcomed by the people. The good news is that the Orchard, the main theatre, is going ahead and it's going on schedule. We never say never about delays on building, because things can happen. But at the moment, fingers crossed, we're ready for a September-October opening.
Kent Online Sport.
Football Now and Gillingham's manager says the team needs to go into next season with a winning mentality. The Gills finished 12th in the League Two table after drawing with Doncaster Rovers at Priestfield on Saturday. They were 2-0 down at half-time but levelled in the second half to end with a 2-2 draw. Here's head coach Stephen Clements.
I'm pleased we've come away with something, but I wanted to win a game. So, obviously, I actually felt we started in the first 15, 20 minutes okay, but we get done off a long ball up the pitch. There's a few contacts that we don't deal with. There's a ball that comes in our box that we don't deal with. And then the second one, we get done on a corner. And then obviously then the pressure's on her. And it was difficult, but there were some things that obviously had to be said at half-time. We had to correct one or two things as well. And I thought the way we pressed the ball and the way we got about people in the second half was much, much better. Always difficult for players when there's one team got obviously still playoff ambitions and obviously they've got there. And one team obviously hasn't. It's a big test, especially if you got a goal behind in a game like that. And the boys found it difficult. But thankfully, I thought they showed great character in the second half. And now, just challenge them as far as next season. We have to have a mentality where we take that into 90 minutes. And obviously, we'll try and get some help for the boys that will improve the team, improve the squad. But going forward, we have to have a winning mentality. Not draw, not lose. Yeah, it can happen now and again, but not with the inconsistency we've done it. So there has to be a mentality shift as well with someone if they want to be successful in their careers.
After recording today's podcast, we've learned that Stephen Clements has been sacked by Gillingham Football Club. We'll bring you more details and reaction to the news tomorrow. Staying with football, and Maidstone United's hopes of being promoted are over. They lost 2-1 to Worthing in their National League South playoff semi-final yesterday. Here's manager George Elokobi.
Firstly, massive, massive congratulations to Worthing. They deserve to win the game, and we wish them all the very best for the finals. On to us now. What can I say about our group of players? Yes, this is going to hurt. It does hurt because we are winners, but there's only one team that could go through. Our players gave us everything this season, and it's not just today. I call them the history entertainers. They've entertained not just the community of Maidstone, they've entertained the world. And, you know, I'm super proud to call them history makers because they're giving us everything to the very last second of the game. What a historic season has been. But we take our appeal tonight and make sure we get a deserved rest, and then we'll be back next season.
That's the thing, as hard as it is probably at this stage to look back on what's been a great season, that the pain must still hurt a little bit, like say, to concede a goal like that right at the end. But like you said, they've left everything out on the pitch, haven't they, the players?
Yeah, listen, our last game, we won it in extra time, and that's just the manner of football. That's the ups and downs, and that's the positives, the joys, but also the pain. To concede at the very depth of at the time, obviously didn't give us enough chance, but we went and created enough chances to try and get something out of the game. But it's important that we look at the manner of how we've gone throughout the season in terms of the volume of games we've played as a squad. I think this is our 62nd or 63rd game, or 62nd, I don't know. With the squad we've had, I'm tremendously proud of our group.